Point number five. We're still talking about seven mistakes dating couples make. Waiting to have all the money before you proceed to marriage. Yeah, they make that mistake. They want to wait till they have all the money. Let's read the scripture before we go on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, charge them or command them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See verse, next verse. But they should trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. One of the mistakes dating couples make is to wait to have all the money. They kind of build their life around money. Don't make that mistake. What you need to do is to build your life around God. You need to learn to trust God. All right? There are people that have delayed their wedding, delayed their marriage, you know, because they are waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, don't wait that long. You don't have to wait that long. Build your trust in God, not on money. Don't wait to have everything. Money is very important, I agree, but faith is more important. Because wedding is just one of the things you do. There are many other projects waiting for you. All right, you have your school, your children's schooling, you have your own house, you do all this. There are many other faith projects that you need to do. If you always wait for money to decide, then you're actually worshiping money and not God. You should follow God. Learn to move by faith. Learn to plan and agree and work together. Don't wait to have all the money before you start. Start moving and your needs will be met. The money will come. That's how it happens. All right, you don't wait for money to come before you move. You start moving, then money will come. As a couple, start to learn how to see God as your source. You see, this is a good opportunity for you guys to build your trust. Interestingly, in case you don't know, one of the highest reasons for divorce among married couples is money. And underlining foundation of that problem is because they see each other or they see one person as the source instead of seeing God. When you understand that God is your source, you lighten the load on your partner. But you think your partner is your partner's responsibility to always meet all your needs financially. That becomes a challenge. You need to both start learning how to see God as your trust. It's not always about money. Decide what you want and start to work towards it and believe God and start to take steps. All right? Start to take steps. Money is not everything. All right? I remember my own story when I met my wife. I didn't have money at all. I had a job. Remember, you must get it. You must have a job. So I had a job. I was already a pastor, but I was not rich. I was not rich. My church was not paying me a salary and all that, and I didn't have money. So we had to come together and plan and believe God together. And interestingly, you know, the parents wanted to push the wedding to a year after because they felt, oh, they were not in a position to do much financially. And I told them, they should not worry, that we'll still do it this year. If it's the money, they should not worry, we'll get it. And you see, the moment we set that goal, we didn't have the money, but the moment we set that goal and agreed together, the Bible says if two of you shall agree as touching anything, it will be established. We just started taking things one step at a time. And you see, when you really move, God too will move. Most times you are waiting on God and God is the one waiting on you. When you start taking steps, you know, you see that things will start falling in place gradually. You will need to cut off some things. You know, now I understand this might not apply to some couples. Maybe both of you are very rich. You have very rich parents. I understand that. I'm speaking to the people that are here. You know that you don't have any inheritance or anything waiting for you. You don't have rich parents that are going to sponsor your wedding. You don't have to wait forever till you get old. You know, you don't have to wait till you are so old. There's a blessing that comes from marriage. The Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He said, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. You know, so there are blessings that come because of marriage. So you need to move on. As long as you are sure this person you want to marry, don't keep postponing the wedding till you guys can buy 30 houses and buy 30 cars and buy the most expensive wedding gown. Nobody wears the wedding gown after the wedding day. Do you understand? So cut your coat according to your size. In my wedding, we didn't have a program. We cut out a lot of things. The guests were limited. We're numbered. We didn't have all the guests we knew, all the people we knew in this world. So plan and start moving forward and you'll see God come to. Don't wait till you have all the money to marry. Don't delay your future because you're waiting to have all the money. You will never have all the money for misery. You'll take steps first and things will come. All right, what are the wisdom points here? Both of you should agree on what and what you want to do, really. Both of you should agree. For me, it was easy for me and my wife. We could easily agree. We knew that we didn't want a crowd in our wedding. We knew we didn't want to please the whole world and depress ourselves. You know, that was when I developed a saying that said, people that matter don't mind, and people that mind don't matter. Because I was a church pastor, I had thousands of people in my church. I was also a bit popular because I teach relationship and all that. So I knew many people around the city, and I couldn't invite everybody. So in my church, I shared good news and bad news the same day. The first was good news, I'm getting married. Everybody clapped. Hey, the bad news was that you guys can't attend. If you love me, you're not going to attend because I can't feed all of you. I can't feed thousands. I couldn't afford that. So both of you should agree what you really want. What do you guys want to do? And we guys should agree that we want to get married this year. We want to get married next year. And just both of you agree. He said, if two of you, Matthew 18:19, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Okay? So number one, agree on what you want. Number two, what can we start with? What can we start? What little steps can we start to take? Can we buy this one now? Can we take this step now? Can we fix the engagement? Can we fix the introduction? You know, what little steps can we take? So start to take those steps. You see, because faith is by works. Faith is by actions. You know, what can we do? Number three, have a financial plan. So if you guys want to start early, start saving, start planning, you know, how we can raise extra funds for what we need, just have a financial plan. All right, talk to experienced people, talk to knowledgeable people. What are the financial decisions we can make now that can make our wedding possible in 6 months, in 1 year, or in a year and a half? Whatever it is, but start the planning today. Have a clear financial plan and then move on. All right? All right. Point number six. We've been dealing with the seven mistakes dating couples make. Don't forget that we have seven mistakes single men make, seven mistakes single women make, and this is seven mistakes dating couples make, all available on my YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, all right? It's important you subscribe so you get these videos as they're coming out and you'll know, all right? So let's do this. Playing house, point number six. Common mistakes dating couples make is that they move in together. They become living couples, living lovers, and that becomes a big challenge. Let's read the scripture as we move. Proverbs 25 verse 17, it said, withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he be weary of you and so hate you. What are they saying? They are saying that familiarity will breed contempt. They are saying that, you know, you need to continue to create that miss you factor. One of the things that keeps a relationship thriving is the fact that you guys are not too much in each other's face. When you move into your lover's house and start playing house, it actually endangers the marriage or relationship. It's like putting the cart before the horse. You know, you are moving ahead to start, you know, doing permanent things even when you are still at a temporary state. You are moving too much. It is usually about people, you know, it suggests that you prefer convenience without commitment. That you prefer convenience without commitment. It never ends well. All right. The statistics show that, you know, up to 33, if it increases the chance of divorce. Up to 33%, all right? There's a higher chance that this marriage will end in divorce when two couples are living together, up to 33%. So it just doesn't work out well when you guys move in together before being married. Take time, all right? It's important you create the miss you factor. Say, withdraw yourself from your neighbor's house. Don't be in each other's face every time. It doesn't just help, all right? It reduces the respect you guys have for each other. You know, you are being exposed too quickly. You know, you are seeing too much too quickly. All right? It reduces respect. Number two, it reduces motivation of the person to move into marriage. I mean, why is he going to marry you when you guys are already living together and you're playing house? You're doing everything you ordinarily should do. So there is no motivation. There's no motivation to move to the next level because he is already in the next level. He's enjoying husband benefits with boyfriend commitment. Number three, it reduces anticipation. What is there to look forward to? For many people, they have finished the honey before the honeymoon. Many people, they don't have no honeymoon because they finished the honey before the honeymoon. So that's why during the honeymoon, they are both texting their exes or, you know, doing funny things because they've already finished the honey before they went on the journey. All right? So it reduces anticipation. All right? You are facing the challenges of marriage without the commitment of marriage. And that can become dangerous. That actually kind of, you know, sabotages your long-term dreams. You know, it's like a house on fire. I told somebody some time ago. It's like a house that is on fire. Imagine you are in a big house, you know, or a big hall, and the hall is on fire. What is the first thing that comes to mind? The first thing that comes to your mind is to leave the building. But you see, when there is no exit, you begin to think about how to put out the fire. All right? So doing things like this, that you get into a relationship and start living together without marriage, you are building a life of convenience. You are not yet seeing marriage as a permanent thing. So the day you have the chance to escape, you will just escape. And that shouldn't be the idea. Learn to commit. Learn to build for the marriage, the long haul. Many people do these things because they are looking for convenience. Oh, it's saving us money. It's doing this. You are not a person of convenience. You're a person of commitment. Let them do what they need to do and get married properly. Don't move in too quickly. Don't be a person that is just opting for whatever seems convenient at the time. All right? It's wrong programming. Don't move in together. Statistically, it has proven to be a danger to marriages succeeding. What are the wisdom points in this regard? What are the wisdom points? Number one, move out. If you're already doing that, move out. Move out. Don't stay in the same house. All right? Don't live together. It's a danger. Trust me, we are counselors. This is some things we deal with every day. It is sabotaging your long-term happiness when both of you move in together before the time. Sabotaging it. Move out. All right? Very important. Number two, follow proven dating guidelines. You know, like the scripture we read earlier on, those that obey the law are happy are they. Follow basic dating guidelines, like one of these ones of not staying together. You know, like I said, I was saying earlier on that somebody told me that, oh, Pastor, what if we're staying together and we don't touch each other and we don't kiss, nothing happens, can we still stay together? I said, if you're staying together with somebody you claim you want to marry, and you guys are not touching each other, you're not even tempted to touch each other, I said, don't marry the person. But if you don't love each other, there's totally zero chemistry between you. That means the marriage, your sex in your marriage will be horrible. You guys will go nowhere. There's no passion. If you can live together for days and you don't marry, nobody's touching each other, that's a red flag. That's a big problem. Don't marry each other. All right? So move out and follow proven dating guidelines if you're going to be happy. All right? All right. So number seven. This is talking about seven mistakes dating couples make. Don't forget that. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, go and do so right now. And don't forget, we have loads and loads and loads of this kind of videos on my channel. And feel free to share these things. Let somebody else be blessed and learn from it. So number seven, common mistake dating couples make is that they don't do premarital counseling. They don't do premarital counseling. Let me read you two scriptures for this one. Proverbs 15 verse 22, it said, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. It said, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The purposes are established. Next chapter, Proverbs 11 verse 14, it said, where no counsel is, the people fall. It said, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Do you see that? And this was Solomon, the wisest man, talking, saying you need counsel. All right. It's a very, you know, common mistake dating couples make, you know, that they don't go into counseling. And statistically, it's also common amongst failed or struggling marriages that they were never counseled. From our statistics of talking to struggling and, you know, failed marriages with couples from failed marriages, we find out that they never took time to get premarital counseling. Marriage is such, you know, a complex thing, and it's a long journey. It's not something you should start without proper counseling. We shouldn't be surprised that we have successful engineers that have unsuccessful marriages. We have successful lawyers that have unsuccessful marriages. We have successful doctors that have unsuccessful marriages. The reason is very simple. They spent 6 or 7 years studying medicine, studying law, studying engineering, and they've spent 0 years, zero time studying marriage. So they are successful in their field of endeavor. They are not successful in marriage because you only harvest where you invest. All right. So how much counseling are you guys getting? Don't make the mistake of getting married, you know, without premarital counseling. It's a crucial step. Make sure you go through proper premarital counseling before you get married. There are too many advantages to it. It will bring you clarity. You will understand your partner better. Somebody sent me a message some time ago that her mom was sending her a text. The mom listens to my messages, and the mom said, wow, that do you know Pastor Kingsley, that I listen to him all the time, that she listens to my videos and messages when she's taking her morning walk. She said after 39 years or so of marriage, you know, that she's understanding her husband better now. Can you imagine that? You know, and people tell me all the time that I wish I listened to you if I got married. So if you're a dating couple watching me, you can listen to me now before you get married. You don't have to say those kind of things. You can listen to me now. Get premarital counseling. All right? Pay for it if it's necessary. If you have a very good church that has a good program, that's fine. Most churches will do it for you for free. In our own church, same thing. If you're doing it through the church, it's free. But We also have a ministry. I also have run a ministry where we run those services as a paid service so that we can cater for people outside of our church. So, but don't be afraid to pay for it, all right? Your friends and family might not be sufficient to provide counseling because people think, oh, I have friends that have been married, or my family, my uncle just advised me. And that's great. You need that, but that might not be sufficient, all right? Your friends might be ignorant. Your family might be biased. They might not be the best people to advise. In fact, we have seen also from our experience that sometimes taking your issues to your family, you know, might not be advisable. It's not the best thing because sometimes they don't give you objective advice. They support you. They have support you. You are their son. You are their daughter. You are their brother. So they just want to support you. Or some other times they are not even knowledgeable enough, you know, about it. Sometimes when you say, "Oh, my fiancé said this. My wife said this." Long after you guys have made up, they might not forgive the person as fast as you have forgiven the person, because they're not in love with the person. So we generally don't even advise you to take your issues to your uncle or your father or your mother. You don't get the right response. Advise you to get a professional counselor. Pay for it if you need to. All right? Premarital counseling is crucial for you to enjoy marriage. All right? There are good ones that have proper programs. They'll deal with the real intimate issues. The people are experienced, you know. So it's, you know, counseling, marital coaching and marital counseling is not just, some people don't see it as a profession or as a professional thing. For people like us, we're highly trained. I've had to go do courses about this and learn from people that are professors, people that have PhD holders, people that have done this for years and years to themselves. So they are proven guidelines. So premarital counseling is one of those things that is a major thing, and it's a big mistake dating couples make, thinking that love is enough. We just love each other, and that's all that counts. It's never enough, all right? You need real questions to be asked. You need direction to come. So what are the wisdom points? Look for a good counseling service around you. That's number one. Look for, wait, is there any way we can get counseling service? Thank God these days, technology even allows you. For instance, I counsel people all over the world, interestingly. I have folks that I counsel from America, Canada, UK, Europe, everywhere, Africa, you know, East Africa, West Africa. So thank God for technology these days. You can even have a good counselor online. All right, so look for a good counseling service that suits you, that works with you, that follows your philosophies. It's very important that follows what you guys believe, because there are many people out there today that are coaches, or relationship counselors that even I won't support. So you need to know that this will follow your philosophy, they follow your ideology, you know, of what you both of you want for each other. All right, number two, be willing to do whatever it takes to get the counseling. So you might need to sacrifice money and time. All right, because some people, they have money, but it's time. They say, "Oh, I work, I don't have time." No, you need to make out time for counseling, and you need to be willing to pay for it. It's just so sad. People don't value knowledge as much. You know, when I see couples planning their wedding, they are ready to pay any amount for photographs, ready to pay any amount for cake, ready to pay any amount for wedding gown, but they find it hard to pay for counseling, and it usually shows, because after the wedding day, the gown won't matter, the cake won't matter, the food won't matter, you know, the dresses won't matter. It's only the marriage counseling that will outlive that wedding day. The rest will finish on that wedding. So it's usually the cheapest. The counseling price is usually the cheapest thing on your list, but it's usually the most important thing in your marriage. So be willing to pay for it. It's okay to pay for it and get the best of it. All right? So I hope this video has blessed you. 7 mistakes that dating couples make. Remember, subscribe to my YouTube channel. You have to do that right now if you have not done so. Share this video with people. Let them be blessed. And we have loads of other ones. Remember, we have 7 mistakes single ladies make, 7 mistakes married single men make, 7 mistakes dating couples make like this one, and 7 mistakes married people make, and a whole lot of other great videos that will help you. Look forward to seeing you again in the next video. God bless you.